Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
Tune it up, Bills fans, for a Friday edition of One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker are here, and we are ready. We're here to entertain you. A full board of show material for you to digest and enjoy here for the next 3 hours as Steve and I are with you here on One Bills Live, broadcasting from the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive. Players got off the practice field probably about a half hour ago, and it was a full speed, non-padded practice, the first of this summer. And they'll have another one on Sunday before the pads go on Monday.
Right. So we got lots of stuff for the show. We got sound from the coordinators. We got stuff about Deion Dawkins. He's going to talk to us a little bit. We've got sound bites from him. Jim Nagy's coming up at 1 o'clock, the director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Bill's got a ton of guys, not least of which is Deion Dawkins, who played in the Senior Bowl. A lot of guys on our squad from – who had experience in that game. So a lot of stuff to talk about there. Like you said, the mailbag is coming. We've got people tweeting us mailbag questions about stuff we can answer.
Yeah, we will. Be happy to do that.
And we got true and false and all that stuff. And Tasker, another Tasker's teammate.
That's right, bottom of the hour, the Tasker's latest teammate. Edition. This is the sixth installment of Tasker's teammate. I got a good stumper here this time. Should be good. We'll see if Steve was – it was like Name That Tune, Steve. You were like, remember that show, Name That Tune?
I remember that song.
Four notes or whatever. And the most ridiculous thing about that whole show, let me just say this as we go off on a tangent right off the top here. I'm about 10 or 11 years old, and maybe I am a born cynic. I probably am. I'm watching this show. I'm like 7, 8, 9 years old. My parents used to watch the show all the time. I'm watching this show with them, and it's going back and forth between the two contestants, and the person says, I can name that song in one note. I'm like, I look at the television, I go, what? Like, are you kidding me? So, sure enough, they play the note, and the person guesses the song. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm never watching this show again. Get the hell out of here. You've got to, this is a fix. It's a hoax. You cannot name a song in one note. Get the hell out of Dodge. I don't believe that. For me, the show was over. Like, it lost all credibility with me. As a 9-year-old, I was done. Done with Name That Tune. So, but I mentioned that show because Steve was killing it on Tasker's teammate, like, for 3 weeks in a row. He went from getting the player, his former teammate, in 6 clues to 5 to 4 to 3. And then we really had him stumped with Kenny Davis, who was the last installment of Tasker. Are you keeping track of the guys that you've had to name?
Yeah, Quinn Early, Jimmy Richer, Keith McKellar, Kenny Davis, and I'm missing one.
Leon Seals,
Dr. Sack.
See, now he's already putting the list together, so he knows who he can rule out.
That's right.
This is going to get harder and harder for me.
And then there was the John Fina fiasco.
Well, yes.
Which is hilarious.
I think that might be your most enjoyable part of Tasker.
In fact, today's first guest is going to be John Fina. But that's going to be that's going to be a running joke. What happened was you'd set it up for John Fina to be Tasker's teammate for the week, right?
Yeah.
And
had it all ready to go.
It all came unraveled when on the content, you know, big group meeting, you know, and it's all, you know, virtual these days. And somebody goes, yeah, and John Fien is all set for Tasker's teammate today. Not realizing it, I'm, you know, oh, yeah. Let me just jot that down.
So here's the best part. After the meeting, I text our producer, Jay Harris, and Steve, and I said, Jay, I think Tasker's teammate's out of the bag unless Steve didn't hear it. And he goes, Steve texts back and he says, I didn't hear anything other than John Fina.
Yeah.
I was like, okay,
right.
I guess we'll scrap that for the week.
I said, it's exactly what I said. Like, you know, that stuff about John Fina. No, I did not hear it.
but speaking of offensive linemen, the Bills' left tackle has officially become a franchise left tackle in the wake of his 4-year extension for a reported $60 million that he signed yesterday. He was made available to the media late yesterday. I was on the call, listened in, and Deion was ear to ear, like smiled.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, I think everything that he had put into the first 3 years of his career here, and it's pretty lengthy when you think about it. Like, Steve, how about last year? His significant other is about to give birth, okay? She's extremely pregnant. He travels with the team down to Miami.
Right.
Even though baby's coming like any day, due date, the whole thing. Travels down to Miami with the team. His significant other goes into labor shortly after they arrive at the hotel. He gets on a plane and flies back to Buffalo, I believe it was, to be there for the birth, gets there just in time, then takes that private plane
back
down to Miami to play in the game. I mean, you want to get respect in a hurry from your teammates?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a touchdown right there, is it not?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Your teammate does that, like, that's your dude, man, right?
Yeah, it's hard not to give a full effort when he's doing that to make it back, you know. And it's part of the culture. It's part of the kind of, it's part of the DNA they look for in these guys. Yeah, you want to ask what that means? That's what it means. You don't. And I'm not saying it could happen like today for the Bills that you get somebody like what happened with the Seattle Seahawks. Somebody tried to sneak a girl into the quarantine hotel.
Oh, good grief.
And he was summarily fired and cut from the team. But that's not the DNA you're talking about.
Right.
And when you guys display what you are talking about, like Deion Dawkins did last year with the birth of the child, I mean, it's – it goes a long way. It goes a long way, and it sets an example. It sets a mindset. It sets up. It sets the standard.
So, you know? Anyone didn't know in that locker room about his commitment to team, they certainly did after that. And he was a captain. I mean, he was a team captain on offense as a third year player. I mean, that says something. And it's clear that team is important to him. Obviously, family is important to him. And when this all came to pass and he signed the contract, there was one person that he called first. So let's listen to Deion to see who got the first phone call after his contract was signed.
My mother. I called her and to give you guys a little bit of insight, snowmen can cry. They definitely cry, and it's all ice tears, you know, it's all love. But I called her and she had no idea. Like, she had no idea, and I called her, and when I seen her face, I just broke out crying. And she was worried. Like, she was like, Deion, what's wrong? What's the matter? And of course, and my mother, she was like, Deion, do I have to come up there right now? And I was like, no, Ma, no. These are happy tears. These are happy tears. And I told her, and she said, Deion, but you did it. And I corrected her, and I said, Mom, I didn't. I didn't do it yet, you know. Until we all win, I would truly win. And she broke out in tears. And listen, man, it's an unexplainable moment and an unexplainable experience. But I'm even sitting here, like the emotions are right behind and his face. I'm telling you right now. But yes, and my mother was the number one draft pick for at my phone call.
So, you know, this is a guy who went to a college at Temple, you know, not far from his home in Rahway, New Jersey, that, you know, they're, as he said on the call yesterday, they're not Alabama. They're not LSU. He wasn't a household name pre-draft. Mm-hmm. And even when the Bills traded up to make him a second-round pick, people were asking, oh, I don't know. He's probably just a guard. I don't know if he's a tackle. And so the doubters were there immediately. I mean, the guy just got picked. And, well, I don't know if he can play tackle. You know, he only played at Temple and this, that, and the other. So to prove those doubters wrong and prove himself capable at tackle, and then to get this now, I mean, you can tell just listening to him how monumental yesterday was for him. I mean, it's right up there with getting drafted, isn't it not? Yeah.
Absolutely, no question. And because personally, for your, you know, all these guys, you know, the thing you strive for as a player is respect in the locker room. And when you get to a point where you're productive enough and valuable enough to the team, not just, you know, as a friend and as a buddy, a good teammate, but to the organization who's going to invest that kind of commitment into your career, it's an enormous pat on the back, and it's enormous validation of everything that you've gone through. Because, you know, he's been pretty much injury free and all that, but that doesn't mean he, you know, hurt. I mean, even though you're not on the injury report, even though you're not missing games with surgeries or whatever, all these guys play hurt, and it's a sacrifice. It's hard to do. You get up and you practice and you play and you work out, and you know, you hurt a lot of the time physically. When you're playing pro football during the season, and sometimes there's no question that sometimes he probably was doubting himself. Is this going to be worth it? Am I going to make it through this? And then when you do get a contract like this one,
it's validation.
It's a great feeling. Like he said, it's almost hard to put that into words.
Yeah. So the big question that normally follows when someone gets paid in the fashion that Deion Dawkins did is, well, the guy got his big money. Now does he just kind of loaf a little? Does he coast? And Deion Dawkins might be one of the more self-aware guys in this locker room, because this is what he had to say about avoiding having his play taper off.
How can I say? Well, first of all, I have to earn it, you know, and just because, like, it's there, it doesn't mean that it can't disappear. And I know that about this league. And I don't take it for granted, you know. From having this contract, like, it made me, and it's only been hours, but it's made me just that much more hungrier. Because we hear about guys all of the time that get paid and then they fall off. And believe me, if I could say it, I'm going to say it, it will not be me. And I will do everything and everything to fight so it will never and be me. And I'm going to earn every bit of this contract, and I'm going to do everything and everything that I can to help this program, this organization win on the field and off.
So, I mean,
I don't know what else you want him to say.
Not going to be me.
Most guys feel like when they sign the contract, they've already earned it, because that's what the deal is. He, you know, he understands, now I've got to earn it. He goes, Now I'm getting that paycheck. I want to earn it and make it myself worth that money.
And you heard him say it too. Just because it's there doesn't mean it's going to stay there if I don't perform.
Right.
It can just as easily go away. I mean, I'm sure there's guaranteed money amongst that $60 million, but if he wants to bank all $60 million of that, he's got to show up every single week. And so to be that self-aware for a 24, 25-year-old player, I think just again speaks to the type of players that this organization targets under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. They look for these kinds of guys who are going to do the right thing no matter what. Like we say, whether it's week one or week 17 – or whether they're a minimum salary guy or cashing in on a $60 million contract extension, they know they're going to get the same thing from the guy every single time. And that's critical. I think there's another layer to that lesson that Deion Dawkins spoke about there, and it goes back to his 2018 season, right, which was a down year for him by all intents and purposes, and even by his own admission. And he actually walked us through, number one, why it happened, and number two, how he learned from it. So let's listen to that.
Never get comfortable with the cushion, you know. If I can give an example for it, though, never put a blanket on. Stay cold, you know, stay uncomfortable, where as if in my experience, I had a Pro Bowl, All-Pro left guard, and it was Richie. And from being next to him, there was places in my game where I could hide. Whether I was lacking in this, that Pro Bowl and that All-Pro and Pro guy took all of that flaw from me. And then from going to that and next year, not saying anything about anybody, but they weren't an All-Pro, you know, and it just showed, you know, and I could never get comfortable and I could never get complacent and I could never sit in my seat because the chairs are musical chairs. And I just got to understand and just continue to learn that, you know, every day isn't promised. And it doesn't matter how much money a guy gets, we're all irreplaceable. And I have to play, I have to live, I have to breathe, I have to eat, I have to do everything like it. And I have to stay on my P's and my Q's. And we just got to just hit the ground rolling and take it one day at a time.
So, you know, this is a guy who admittedly in 2017 had a lot of his flaws covered up by having an All-Pro guard next to him in Richie Incognito. And then when Richie's gone the next year, it's like, oh, crap, I wish I worked on that in the offseason because I don't have an All-Pro guard to cover it up for me.
Right. And it's really a pretty enlightening to hear and pretty complimentary of him to say that about himself. I mean, being that vulnerable and
he's
open.
Very self-effacing.
Being that self-aware and also having the courage and the security to say, yeah, you know, I was leaning on Richie a lot. And to give the general public insight into that, I think it speaks well of him. Certainly with this contract, he's secure enough in his position with the team that he knows he's not going to lose his job for saying, hey, I was, you know, leaning on Richie and he's kind of was the reason I played, was thought of so well my rookie season or in 2018. But man, oh man, that says a lot about the guy who's that smart to understand that about himself and to learn from it and to become the kind of player that he's become to sign a contract like this. There's a lot to like in the sound that we've heard from Deion Dawkins. He said all the right things. You can tell by the sound bites we've just listened to why he's a team captain.
Yeah, and to take it a step further, you know, he talked about all the love that his teammates showed him. We saw a lot of that on social media yesterday after the news broke. I think Josh Allen was one of them, and he said, hey, you know, we've got a snowman in August or something to that effect. He said it's snowing in August or something like that at One Bills Drive. So his teammates obviously very happy for him as well. I saw Cody Ford tweet about him too. So a lot of support in the locker room, as you'd expect. It's clear that he's a guy who has earned that respect from his teammates already, and now the franchise has followed up with, you know, the 4-year contract extension that secures his long-term future. And, you know, this is a guy that's going to be protecting Josh Allen's blind side for the foreseeable future. So, you know, it's going to be an important piece. And now he's the first piece of the 2017 inaugural draft class under McDermott that has been signed to a long-term contract extension. We know Tre'Davious White was signed to a fifth-year option, so there's a little time for the organization to breathe on the extension they're probably going to try to put together for him in due course. And then the other element is Matt Milano, who's the other guy from that 2017 class that you would think they'd prefer to keep. Whether or not they're able to stay cap strong in keeping all three of them, I think is the key component to where it goes from here. Right. Because the very next year you've got Edmonds and Allen, which you can put off to a certain extent with fifth year options for those guys, with both of them being first round draft choices. And then even the 19 class, if you want to run down that list, you know, you've got more people now. You got Cody Ford and, you know, Ed Oliver.
Right.
So, you know, very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, you've drafted well, and that's great.
Yeah.
And you want to, and that's what they say here, draft, develop, and re-sign. Now, I think we all know you can't re-sign everyone, and that's why you have to keep drafting well. Because at some point, you're going to have to make up for some of the people you just can't keep because of the cap constraints.
That's one of the things I said yesterday about when we were talking about Sean McDermott and his extension, that it's the league has evolved to a point where you have more years and the successful teams are able to stay successful with different players on their roster. And when you get down the list of how many guys you've got to keep or which guys you've got to keep, how long can you make that list before the bottom becomes different guys every year? Certainly Milano is on the list of guys you'd like to keep. Tremaine, Josh, you know, good Ed Oliver, obviously Deion and Tre'Davious. All these guys, Poyer and Hyde, I mean, the list is really long on a good roster.
Yeah.
And certainly sooner or later, there will be some changes to maybe those stellar names, you know, but hopefully that's a decade down the line. You've heard what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing. They just signed Travis Kelce after signing Patrick Mahomes, after signing Jones. You know, they've got some guys.
And they got Sammy Watkins back.
Sammy Watkins, they re-signed
him. Short-term deal.
So they've got, you know, you've got to be willing to pick the guys you want to go with. And try and fill in with quality guys around them.
Now, well, quality young talent from the draft that you can save money on because of the rookie wage scale and the way that thing is situated. So you say, well, you draft so well, you develop these players, you're not going to be able to keep all of them. What the heck? Well, that's just the way the cap constraints work, where you can't pay everybody. You just can't. But if you keep drafting well, there'll be that influx of youth coming in behind some of those two or three players that maybe you can't keep even though you want to.
And one of the reasons they've been successful so far is the fact that their free agent philosophy has been a little bit different as well. They're not getting Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown or Khalil Mack or one of these guys. They're getting guys like A.J. Klein, like Medikevich, like, you know, Vernon Butler, Mario Addison. These guys are very good players, but they're all signed to a 1-2-3 year deal at the most. You're not tied into these guys long term. And now, with the success that Sean McDermott's had, with the extension he's got, with the two playoff appearances in the last 3 years, it's becoming pretty evident that Buffalo is a pretty nice place to play, and word's getting around. So now you're going to have other guys who will say, you know, instead of saying, I don't know Buffalo, they're saying, well, what about Buffalo?
Yeah.
And it's higher on the list of desirable places to play. So you're going to get that benefit as well. This is a franchise that seems to have hit on all cylinders for about 3 years now. Since Sean McDermott showed up, this plan has worked, and it'll be interesting to see the ebbs and flows, because you've seen it. I mean, like, the Chiefs already are being accused of striking while the iron is hot and kicking all this money down the road.
They are backloading a lot of these contracts.
They're backloading a lot of the contracts. Now, certainly, you would think the cap is going to elevate so you can keep a larger percentage of them.
And you better believe, dollars to donuts, that the Chiefs in negotiations with agents probably said, well, look, We're getting crushed on the cap next year with this pandemic. It's only going to be 175. You got to help us out.
Yeah.
And I think they're taking advantage of that circumstance to push money into the back of contracts too.
And they're even pushing guaranteed money back that far. So that's
right.
and the players are jumping on board with that. And I think there's a different and an evolving mindset among the players in the NFL, knowing. Because I get it. There's some cynical people out there. Listen, the players are playing for the money. They are, but they're also playing because they want to win. And there's a growing sentiment, particularly since more and more guys are making life-changing money. They're saying, okay, I'll do it. I've made a ton of money. Now let me get some help here.
Yep.
Push my money down the road, see if you can sign some better players. We got to keep winning.
And do you want to know who the greatest example of that has been to this generation of players?
Pat Mahomes.
How about Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tom Brady, for years, took less money.
So yes, he did.
To spread it around a little bit more
yeah.
so they could win. He was in New England for 20 years. Do you know how much a quarterback that's been to four or five Super Bowls, you know, should be making at that point? And he never broke the bank. He was somewhere between 16 and 22nd highest paid quarterback yeah. in the league after winning three Super Bowls.
And I'll say this too. The Mahomes contract is structured way back in. He sees the bulk of his money in 2027. He gets a chunk of like $67 yeah. million dollars of that money in 2027.
Now, a quarterback has a better chance of seeing the end of their contracts than most other positions,
right.
Especially with the added protections that are in the game now for quarterback in terms of where you can hit him and where you can't hit him and all of that stuff. So
yeah.
the odds are greater that these quarterbacks get to the end of their contracts, barring a horrific injury like an Alex Smith, for example. So I think there are quarterbacks in this league that see the example that Tom Brady set, saying, all right, well, you know, I'm going to make enough money in endorsements. Maybe let me just take a little bit less here from the team so that money can be used to keep some of my best weapons around.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. That's yeah. what they're doing in Kansas City. But for a long time, that's what they did in New England.
They're
whether
still
it was
doing
going
in New England.
And getting Randy yeah. Moss via trade and getting him on board, or making other decisions to keep the roster strong, you know, giving Gronk a long-term extension, you know, in New England. There were a myriad of examples. So
right. And I think that
just set a good example for these young quarterbacks coming up now.
Right. But I also think that the mindset's evolving. The players have an understanding of what it takes to win, and it takes cap space. And if you can give me what I think I'm worth in whatever way you deem necessary, fine. As long as I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. Let's get some guys in here to play. And I think that's an evolving mindset that's expanding because the cap has gotten so big and, well, up until this next year.
Yeah.
But I think that's a mindset that's coming into play here.
Be interesting to see if it gains even more traction as the years go along here with more NFL clubs. We do have to take a break, but when we come back, it is installment number 6. Of Tasker's teammate. Can we stump Steve this time? We'll find out on the other side of the break. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health here on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you on a Friday, and it's that time in the show where we try to stump Steve. With the 6th edition, it is time for Tasker's teammate.
Da-da-da-da.
Look at this. For our MSG viewing audience, we got graphics. For our listening audience, we got game show music. This is high end now.
It's like a real thing.
So are you ready, Steve, to play?
I am ready.
Okay,
I've got my notepad to write down your pathetically insufficient clues.
Yeah, they're cryptic on purpose.
Yeah.
So first clue for Tasker's teammate. I was born in Mobile, Alabama, and I am just 1 month younger than Steve. I know that doesn't give you a whole lot, but at least you can pick an age
Bruce
range.
Smith.
It is not Bruce Smith. It was not bad. He was
John Fina.
It's not John Fina.
No, not John Fina. All right. Moby.
You knew Bruce was born in Virginia. Come on. Clue number two. I was a teammate of Steve's for 5 seasons, and I was on the Bills roster prior to Steve's arrival. Oh, the wheels are turning now.
5 seasons.
But he was here before you got here.
Dwight Drain.
It is not Dwight Drain.
I can guess more than one, right?
You want to throw another one out there? Sure.
Before I got here.
Yep. On the roster before you were here.
5 years. So that's 86 through 91. I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay, clue number three. And I believe I'm incorrect. It's 4 seasons, Steve. Sorry. Okay, four seasons. He was your teammate. 90. All right, clue number three. Despite a college career in which I changed sides of the ball, I was still a first-round draft choice.
Gotta be.
These are pretty cryptic. I'm trying to be evasive on purpose to make this hard on Steve.
Oh.
Cornerback. I can't remember. Oh, wait. Had to quit playing because he got hurt.
Oh, Steve thinks he has it on the tip of his tongue.
He's a corner. Got hurt in the Houston game. Gosh, he was a great. Wow, I know his. Oh, I can picture his face in front of me right now. Not Kenny Burroughs. No, it's.
You want to give me a first or a last name?
Kenny? Ken? Come on. I got it. I know who it is. Got hurt in the Houston game. And I can't remember his name now. He was a first-round draft pick. Good player. Really good player. And unfortunately had spinal stenosis. Had to quit playing because an injury brought it to light. He was paralyzed for a minute and had to quit. Burroughs.
Derek Burroughs. You are correct,
Derek
Steve.
Burroughs.
Well done. I wanted to give you time to get it.
Derek Burroughs.
So it only took him 3 clues this week. Steve.
That's right. Derek Burroughs.
Well done, yes. And I believe we have Derek on the line.
Hey, Steve, I would have never thought you would have
been. Derek, are you there?
I am here. Yes, I'm here.
Is Derek on the line?
Can you hear him, Steve?
I can't hear him. Oh, hold on.
Oh, You got a loose wire.
Do I have a loose wire? Is he there?
Yes, Derek is here. So just to fill in the rest of the blanks here, Derek became a full-time starter in his third season with the Bills, remained in the starting lineup for the last couple of years he was here, and then got into coaching after his playing career was over. Even coached his first pro coaching was in NFL Europe for Amsterdam and Berlin.
All right, now I can hear him. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great now. How are you doing?
I wouldn't have never guessed in a million years, considering the time we have not talked or spoken, you would have ever guessed.
Oh, I remember the day when you had to quit playing. I remember you were a great voice in a locker room. You lived through that 1990 season.
Yeah,
and I remember you. You were one of the voices that would sit there next to Bruce and tell him to sit down and be quiet. You were a great guy. I tell you what, the entire roster was sick when you couldn't play football anymore. And I know it was a tragedy and it's something that you did because of your health. But man, oh man, we missed you, man. We really missed you.
And you know, I want to say this, and I know our time is short, but you know, Steve, I never appreciated how good you actually were until we weren't teammates and I got a chance to watch you from a fan's perspective. And then when I got hurt, I watched us go to 4 straight Super Bowls and I watched you on special teams and I got to say, bro, you are by far one of the best special team guys I've ever saw in my life.
Well, I appreciate
it. But I didn't understand that, and I didn't realize that until after I got hurt, and I got a chance to watch you as a fan, and I wish I could have appreciated it as a teammate.
Well, I appreciate you. I know this too. I got plopped into the mix midway through 86, and my first game was Marv's first game, and so I came in. I didn't know anybody, and I started in the middle of the season. So it was kind of one of those deals where, mm-hmm. I was kind of like a weed growing up out of the cracks of the season, right? I just kind of nobody, you know what I mean? I thought I was going to be a Buffalo Bill for about 4 months. And it ended up, you and I played together for, gosh, that's a long time, 5 years.
NFL. And I vividly remember Marv teaching us, we were coming off the edges, trying to learn how to block kicks.
Yeah.
And it took me about 4 steps. It took you 5, but yet you were doing it more correctly yeah. than I was.
It's so funny.
I remember those good moments.
Yeah.
Of being a teammate, but I really wish I could have appreciated being your teammate a little bit more. You're a hell of a player, brother.
Well, let me ask you that. What are you doing? You said Brownie said you got into some coaching after you're done. What are you doing now?
And I think he's the athletic director. Are you still the athletic director?
Well, yes, I am. I've been coaching 27 years. I decided to step down last year as the head football coach, but I've been the head football coach and athletic director at the same time at this small HBCU Division II school called Lane College here in Jackson, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
But it just got too much for me to do both. So I'm still the athletic director. They always say it's never too late to go back to school. I'm in school getting my master's degree in sports science. Everything is going well. Everything is going good, I don't miss coaching or playing at all.
I was going to ask you. Do you have it now?
27 years of coaching will do that to you.
Do you have any long lasting effects from what ended your football career? Is that all? As long as you stay low impact, you okay?
I did for a long time. I had a lot of neck issues, and then for years I had been getting different types of therapy and injections in my neck, and then I eventually moved down to my back. So I'm still bothered with those issues, but I'm living a good, productive life by the grace of God.
So Derek, how? This is a challenging time for athletic directors and college sports. So how are you guys navigating this very difficult situation with a pandemic and all of the issues? I mean, we've seen it more on the Division I college landscape, right. But I have to imagine at Division II, it's just as challenging.
Yeah. Well, of course, we don't have the resources and the money that the big schools have. So this whole thing is really not for us.
Right.
It's really for the bigger schools to fight over. But, I have nothing on my resume in knowing how to deal with COVID-19.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think anybody does.
Right. So I'm just kind of going by the seat of my pants, waiting on the NCAA to give us direction. And then, now the NCAA is not, they seem to be so afraid. They're not giving any direction. So I don't know what I'm doing. We don't know what we're doing, to be honest. We're just trying to figure this thing out.
Let me ask you, Derek, you're an AD and you coach for a long time. There's a sentiment among mostly among coaches and coaching staffs and people who've been involved like that, that even in the Power Five conferences, and it's my estimation that it's probably this belief at the lower levels as well of college, in Division III, Division II, you name it, that most of these college athletes, particularly in the football side of it, would be better off in the program being taken care of by the coaching staffs, the medical people, the trainers, and all that. What's your feeling on that? Because I kind of lean that way a little bit, that it's a better environment at the colleges than it would be to send these guys home.
Let me tell you this. I read that the other day that Nick Saban said that. And you know what? And I got to thinking, you know, my God, if I was a student athlete and you're talking about sending me back home to Mobile, oh, no. You know, I mean, you know, he hit the nail on the head. And it resonated with me because I put myself in that situation. Would I have been better? Damn right I would have been better at school.
Right. Yeah, you went to Memphis, right?
Yeah, I went to University of Memphis. And you damn right I would have been better if I stayed at school.
Right.
I knew if I stayed at school, I would have been eating three meals a day.
Right.
So absolutely, no question.
Yeah, I think there's still – and that's still prevalent, even at the Power 5 schools. Am I right? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I that much hadn't changed.
See, I think this too, Derek, and I know that – there's not at Lane College, of course, but in Alabama, LSU, Clemson, and those schools of that ilk, there is a lot of cynicism about how much money those coaches make and how much money is driven by that. But I believe the best coaches and the ones that are at those schools, you know, are good, great coaches. They get those jobs because they do go down and get to know their players. They do have personal relationships. They are good leaders of those guys. And they do care about those kids' welfare. That's why they believe that they're the better option in this scenario than sending these kids back to their homes. I'm not one of the cynical things that think these coaches are all doing it for the money. If they're doing it for the money, they don't last very long. So even the guys like Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney, they care about their kids. And that's why they believe, like you do, that those kids are better off with them.
Well, you know, being one of those athletes, being one of those athletes they were talking about, I can relate to that, to be honest. And any athlete that come from a similar environment that I came from, absolutely, you know, when I read it, when Nick Saban said it, and I read it, and I'm saying to myself, you damn right, I would definitely have been better, I would have been safer, you know, in a better environment than sending me back to Mobile. That was the worst thing you could have done for me.
Right.
I don't think it has, you know, I don't want people to read more into that. It doesn't mean that it's all about football. But right. The truth is most of those kids aren't from great environments.
Yeah, it's a quality of life issue.
Yeah. So I didn't read that as you know, Nick was being selfish or Dabo was being selfish and wanted to play football. I read it as a safety issue, you know. Yeah.
So, Derek, listen, we appreciate you taking the time to call in and play along with us here in this edition of Tasker's Teammate. I know Steve got a kick out of catching up with you a little bit. We're glad you're doing well, and we wish you the best. And who knows, maybe we'll catch up with you down the line here. Good luck with everything you got to handle there at Lane.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Derek. It's great talking to you. Thank you so
great
much.
Great talking to you, Steve.
All right, take care.
All right, that's Derek Burrows, former first-round draft choice of the Buffalo Bills in 1985.
Yep.
You know, went through the 2-14 season in 85, and glad he's doing well because his career unfortunately came to a premature end, but glad he's doing well. That was – Steve, good job, man. Those were very vague clues, and once you said Burrows, I didn't want to give it to you. But then I was like, all right, just give me a first name or a last name, and we'll go from there, and you got it. Finally clicked in.
Yeah.
So good job on you.
Derek Burrow's career ended all too soon. It was too bad.
We got to take a break, but when we come back, we'll probably maybe take an initial peek at the mailbag. Who knows? We'll see. We might get to some of that. We also got plenty more in the second hour as both coordinators spoke to the media today, Leslie Frazier and Brian Daboll. We'll get to some of what they had to say a little bit later on in the show as well. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Closer to the top of hour number two of the show, but we've got a little business to take care of here before we get to the top of the hour, and that deals with you, the fan, as it's time for our One Bills Live fan mailbag. So if you have not sent a question in as of yet, please do so. Steve and I are happy to answer it, anything and everything about the Bills, as today was the first day of full-speed practice out of pads. They will have another day of that on Sunday, and then it's full steam ahead, pads on Monday. And we will be providing access to that practice via live stream.
We're going to do that again?
Yeah, we're going to do that again on
but
our streaming services.
There. Who's going to be? Is Maddie going to do it?
Well,
for
it's
us?
In the morning, so it's me and Maddie that'll be doing that. And we'll have that on our streaming platforms. So we're excited to bring that to the fans, especially knowing that they can't attend training camp this year. So we'll be excited to be there, and we'll have future installments of that. And I know you'll be taking part in that too. You probably haven't been briefed on that yet, but it will be happening.
Well, sounds like I'm being briefed on it right now. Does this mean I have to drag myself out of bed earlier in the morning?
You may. Oh, you may. See. You may have to do that, yes.
Am I going to have to like be on someplace, like on Zoom or something? How are we going
to
do that?
Yeah, we'll be streaming it.
And I have to be sitting right here in this chair to do this?
No. You will be on location in the one area of the practice field that we're allowed to stand.
I get to go out to practice too?
I believe, yeah, for the time you'll be streaming.
I'm going to have to get an allergy shot then. I'm allergic to practice. So
I thought that was Bruce.
Yeah, well. All right.
So okay. So we're looking
what
forward
time is
to
practice
that.
Starting.
Well, I believe it's 10 a.m.
I can do that.
So I think you got to be out there around 9:30 or so. So we'll be sending out alerts and whatnot to let people know when they can watch.
All right. Let me ask you this. Now that we're having this, and I'm getting briefed, I have questions and concerns.
Sure. I don't know that I have all the answers, but okay, I'll try.
Are any other of the media going to be out there? Like,
yeah,
we're going to have to intermingle with their cooties.
Yeah,
too?
I'm sure they will be out there, and we'll be doing this live stream with masks on. I mean, there's just no other way to do it. So we'll have our microphones situated where people can clearly understand us as we kind of take them through the particulars of what's going on out there.
Probably nobody else is going to be doing it live, though.
Oh,
right?
No.
They'll be taking,
no one else
right?
will
nobody
be doing that.
Be allowed to do it live.
No, we will be bringing exclusive access.
They trust
us. As we have in previous training camps, as you remember, Steve. We've done this before.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. We did it from the top of the St. John Fisher.
Yeah. For the grass fields.
Because our cameramen know when to point their cameras at the ground, right?
Correct.
So when they're doing,
they know what to show and what not to show.
The double super secret
as directed by the coaching staff, and for good reason. I mean, they have certain things they don't want made public or privy to the 31 other teams in the league, and we respect that and completely understand that. Mm-hmm. So we operate within their parameters and bring as much of the action as we can to the fans who want to see how things are going. So we're looking forward to that on Monday. But real quick, we go to the mailbag, and our first question comes from Ryan. How do you think the Dawkins extension affects a possibility for Matt Milano to get extended? Now, in reality, they're probably mutually exclusive, but technically, one bottom line impacts the other because they're all operating on the same salary cap. So how does it affect the possibility? Well, it means there's less money in the pool. I think you can safely say that. But I think you're at a place where you would tend to believe that, separate from anything that's happened here with Deion in the last 24 hours, it doesn't change the fact that I think they'd like to bring Matt Milano back into the fold.
Absolutely. It doesn't change anything as face value. If the number that Matt Milano was looking for is greater than they can afford, or that the more than the club is willing to give him, that's what affects it. Deion Dawkins won't affect it, and I don't think, because Matt Milano at his position and his spot on the field and on the team and around the league is not to the point where it would impact your cap all that much. His deal is not going to be a 4-year, $60 million deal.
Yeah, the only place it could get a little hairy is Matt Milano, as an outside linebacker, is in the same position as 3-4 outside linebackers who rush the passer. They're in the same category. So he's technically in the same category as like a TJ Watt, for example. And so while you might see linebacker numbers that are in the stratosphere, I would hope that Matt Milano's agent and the Bills can come to an agreement that that's not who he is in this defense. Therefore, he should not be expecting upwards of $12, $13, $14 million a season.
Yeah, his number is going to get set by the market and what he's done to this point. He has not made the Pro Bowl. He has not been all pro. He's not one of those guys that's gotten 15 sacks in a season.
Right.
He's you know, he's got a couple of interceptions, no question, and the guy's around the football.
And he's a really good player.
He's like, a good player, no question about it. He is a starting caliber linebacker
in the
National Football League, and they want him. So whatever this contract's going to be, even if it's not astronomical, it's going to be life-changing for Matt Milano. Ain't no question about it.
All right, we do have to take a break because coming up after the break is one Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl. We want to talk with him not only about how his game might be changed by this pandemic and what it's done to college sports, chiefly football, but how that game might be even a bigger showcase for college players who won't have a chance to play this fall. We want to talk to him about that, how this interrupts the scouting process, and the long list of Bills draft choices over the last 3 or 4 years that have played in this game. We'll cover all of that with Jim Nagy next on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.